would come to this thing so quickly.
Are you still taking them here?
That they couldn't even walk.
Mm-hmm.
And they carried them in their stretchers.
Oh.
The people did.
Uh-huh.
And about 4 or 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
Took them down.
Yeah, I remember one time I was here, there were several men that come for the winter just to bathe in the pools to get help. Uh-huh. One winter race over here. I remember one time that we were walking down around Medicine Lake and we saw a moose down there. Mm-hmm. And Jess wanted to shoot it, and I said, well, gosh, this is on the hot springs ground here. Should you shoot a moose down there? And so he sent one of the boys back to, it wasn't one of the boys, one of the girls, I guess. Anyway, somebody went back to ask Mr. Leach it would be right if he killed a moose down there. And
the lake, the lake doesn't belong to the circus.
Well, we didn't know anyway, so he sent him back to ask him. Mr. Leach says, well, if there's a moose down there, by all means, you can get him, of course. And so when we got ready to haul the moose out, he got some poles, and he laid the moose on the poles for us and hooked up the horse and brought the moose up to the car for us. And I think Jess left a quarter of the moose here at that time, because after all, at least we could do, you know. But way down there, we shot this moose that he just did. And Mr. Leach hooked up the horses and hauled it out for us.
The natives own the cabin at the lake.
Huh? Natives own that now, huh?
Yes, they have for years.
You know who they are?
William Moses was the one that...
Or did they claim the lake then, the ground around the lake? Is that?
I think so.
Moses, I remember, but I don't know who's...
Well, it would be Sandy Roberts and Lucy Crowe's heirs, I guess. Oh, it was Sarah Moses, was their mother, and so I'm sure that they are probably the owners of it now, I suppose.
There was no cabin there at this time at all, just a lake and a trail down to it.
Wasn't the cabin there?
I don't remember. Do you think there was a cabin then? I don't think so.
Well, it's been there for as long as I can remember. I've heard of it being there. I haven't seen it.
I've been down there, but not for many years.
Maybe I was too excited to notice the cabin. Maybe I was too excited to notice the cabin.
Well, you see, after all, the lakes are quite long when you start to think about it.
Maybe you didn't get down to where the cabin was, because it's just at the upper end of the... I guess which way? This way, anyway. Closest to the springs here is the end that we got the moose down there. That was a nice walk down there.
No, I'm sure that belongs to
Medicine. Did you ever walk down to the
river? I never was to Medicine.
Well, didn't you? No, it's pretty down in there. Swampy. There's quite a lot of swamp to go through to get there, isn't there still? Is it swampy to get down to the lake?
I imagine. We had to go through quite a bit. I've only been there once. That was the first summer I worked there. Now Munson landed down there, and we went down to Ned Brown's old fort. A bunch of us from the...
Those days we dressed when we went out, you know, wore shoe packs. I had shoe packs on and heavy socks and great heavy pants on. And so...
I know the cabin's still there, because one of the girls that worked here last summer, before she went back to town, she just wanted to live out
there. Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
And so she went to and stayed at this cabin.
Oh,
I've forgotten her name.
How long were you at Bethel?
I forgot. I can't remember. But she was a very lovely girl. I liked her.
Your boys were just little boys during that time, a big furnace was gone,
and I knew how she dreaded it, because you see, when they had earlier, she was quite frightened, so I couldn't help but think how frightened she would be. But she came out of her but she was glad to get back.
I bet she was. This is a beautiful sunny evening when we were down there, just one of those crisp fall evenings, you know.
We
really enjoyed that walk down there. We always come over in September when we go. Around in September when we'd make our last trip over this way. Once a year.
What kind of meat did you use at the springs? Was the meat...
At that time there was no limit to the caribou, because there were plenty of them. Yes, you could take... I think at that time you could even take all the moose you wanted. The limit came later on.
Oh, I see.
When they thinned down more, and more people moved into the country, and more people were killing them.
So you had plenty of...
We had all the meat we wanted, and caribou all the time.
Did you... So year-round you had it fresh? Or did you can a lot of it?
You, I think there was a certain season for that even then.
Didn't you have a tunnel with ice in it to keep
yes.
it?
Yes, oh, we have tunnel with ice to keep
well,
it.
Well, I noticed I was over last weekend, and I was back. I walked up the hill behind the hotel, and there's an ice tunnel. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It has three rooms.
That was one of the cabins, but off to the left of that and back is the tunnel. Mm-hmm. Isn't that right?
And we have a lot. We used to make our own ice in the wintertime in those 5-pound gallon cans. Mm-hmm. So that was an all winter job.
But you'd make the ice, and then you
was probably mm-hmm. divided into rooms too. At least ours was up on the
Oh, right. I never was in the tunnel.
But in some locations, I know they dig tunnels into the hill, mm-hmm. and then they can put ice from the creeks or in the back section, mm-hmm. and then mm-hmm. have a door. Then, mm-hmm. then everything in there stays frozen, and sometimes mm-hmm. the ice will remain frozen until.
Next season.
So, well, I was just in Rampart recently, and these people who the Carlos have the mine that the Bill Thomas and his wife had over there, mm-hmm. and they have had ice in there. Some of that ice is 5 years old. it's unbelievable.
I think some of our ice stayed frozen all summer long too. Do you remember for sure?
Seemed to me it did.
Yeah.
But I never was in the tunnel.
But we used to have just stacks of ice because it was a daily job to fill those cans. And you could only put in a layer each day because mm-hmm. otherwise your tins would burst, you know, if you tried to freeze the whole can. And I used to help fill those cans too.
Oh boy.
But you could keep then in your tunnel, your where it would be cold, you could keep your meats things in there. Mm-hmm. Well, you said that you had three cows. Did you make your own butter?
Yes, even made butter.
Is that one of your chores too, or did you have?
Of course, we never had more than two milk cows at mm-hmm. one time, but. Yes, there was just endless work. There wasn't time enough to sleep. I used to run from place to place because the time was too short to walk. Mm-hmm. When you're making cabins and things and cooking at the same time.
And laundry. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Gracious. How many girls worked here when you worked here, Charlotte? Was it just you and so wasn't there somebody else that played a guitar or something or a...
Well, there were two girls that worked in the cabins in the hotel.
Uh-huh.
And then we had at least two in the dining room, didn't we, Ruth? Mm-hmm. And then one girl helped in the kitchen with the cook. Mm-hmm. And then Mrs. Leach was in the laundry and some of us helped her on occasions.
Mm-hmm. So there's one girl I met in Seattle said she used to play the banjo or something while you played the piano up here. She worked up here when you did a little short.
That was Doy Walmer.
Yes.
In the first year that I went to work over mm-hmm. there, I hadn't been there very long when she came over. Mm-hmm. And she'd had trouble with her husband and was getting a divorce. Mm-hmm. And she came over and just asked Mr. Leach if she could work there for room and board. And she would work in the hotel and in the cabins. Mm-hmm. She also played a banjo.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is how we had two musicians the first year. And then the second year, it was Herb McClarty who played the clarinet and saxophone, and he worked in the garden. Mm-hmm. Remember, he helped in the garden, and so he and I furnished the music on Saturday nights. And then the last year, it was the last 2 years, wasn't it? It was Earl Blinsler. He was a barber, remember? And they had a barber shop there, and he did barbering and helped with the construction or the repair around the building. And then he played a saxophone, and he and I furnished the music in the evening. And I think that was the whole bunch, wasn't it, of musicians? I think he was there the last 2 years that I was there. And so that was all, just two of us, but we were loud.
Yeah, this little woman, she was very active at the Eagles in Puyallup. Uh-huh.
I get a card from her Christmas.
Uh-huh. Oh, and she knew Jessna real well, and they got to play the banjo once in a while, but she got an organ that she was more interested in, trying to play this organ.
She's played a xylophone, too. Mm-hmm. She's mm-hmm. taken that up.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
She's about 82 now.
Is she that old? Mm-hmm.
Then she took a job cooking. She only was there the first year at the Springs, and then she took a job cooking up at Ketchum Creek for the Enstrom brothers.
Oh.
Remember Doy?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
And then we all remember Billy Hart.
Billy Hart.
Billy Hart.
See, speaking of Enstrom, Ralph Enstrom, do you remember him? He was here the other day. Well, do you remember the Enstrom brothers, I'm sure. Their nephew, Ralph Enstrom, who worked up there one or two seasons, he came through here this past week and he stopped to visit us. I would never have known him, and I'm sure he wouldn't have known us. But anyway, it was nice to see him again.
One of the Enstrom boys died with a tumor on his brain, remember?
That was Vic. Vic, yes. Mm-hmm.
That was this Dory's boyfriend.
That's right. Mm-hmm. We were going to be married when he became ill.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And then Oscar, of course, married the former cook, Mrs. Werner, mm-hmm. and he's dead too. And so, of course, Mrs. Werner is also.
Billy's in the Palmer Pioneer Home, you know. I saw her now down
in
there.
Palmer?
Billy
yes,
Hart.
I saw her too.
Billy Corbley. Billy Corbley. She's in the Pioneer Home. I'll be seeing her when I go over for the convention.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Yeah, she's there.
I saw her in July. Mm-hmm. I drove to Anchorage with my sister-in-law and a friend. And on the way back, we stayed overnight in Palmer, Christine and I. And we went over to the home. And Billy is not able to be out of her wheelchair, I guess, but she's still got spark to her.
Mm-hmm.
She's still, her little hands kind of still flutter like they always did.
When did she move up there?
She moved that from the Sitka home. She was down
as
the Sitka
home.
And when as soon as the Palmer home was, so
nice
they can move in, she moved in from
Sitka.
Oh, she seemed very happy there, and she's alert. I mean, I said, Billy, you're as sharp as a tack. And she says, well, I'm not crazy like some people.
is she blind?
No, she sees. Her eyesight isn't really keen, I guess, but she sees. And I was so pleased to see
she
her.
She watches TV. She was sitting watching TV when I saw her there. I don't know how much of it she saw. But
I was thinking, you know, her birthday's the 20th, I think. And I usually send her a card, and I would have sent it to Sitka.
I sent it to Palmer because she's there.
Oh, for goodness
looking
sake.
Well, really. She's looking good.
I stayed there one night when I went down for that writer's workshop they had down there at Wasilla, you know, and so I stayed at the Pioneer Home one night, so I got to mm-hmm. see her and visit with her quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I stayed with two nights. I was Edna Barrigo at the Pioneer Home there.
Oh.
They put an extra, she asked for an extra bed put in her room for me, so mm-hmm. I stayed in her room and I got to see Billy then.
Oh. That was nice. Uh-huh. A real good visit.
I'll say, living right there with them, you know.
Them,
I was really very, very lucky. And then mm-hmm. Emily St. Pierre, the director, while she would ride, there was Edna Barrigo and Carrie McLean, who's gone now, and the three of us, she'd take us to the meetings in there and
mm-hmm.
bring us back.
Mm-hmm. So. Do you get the Fairbanks News Minor here?
I'm more than I can read.
Mm-hmm.
See, I like to read Time from beginning to end. It's Reader's Digest. And I take a lot of other magazines. They have been for the American Association of Retired People. I don't know. There's so much to read and no time to read.
Well, the reason I ask is that Mrs. Rust writes News of the Pioneers that comes out about once a week in the News Minor, Fairbanks News Minor. And she writes about the events at the Pioneer Home of Fairbanks, the Pioneer meetings, and so we're real glad that she does it because that's about all the Pioneer news we get.
It's very interesting.
Yeah.
It's very well done.
But one,
Ruth. I'll be fine. I've been lots of
you had all kinds of visitors who came to the Springs. Do you, did people like Judge Wickersham ever come over to Circle Hot Springs? When he was,
I think he did once many years ago.
How are you ladies doing?
We're just having a
fire candle.
And that was the end of our gab session. A gab session it was, too. It was Mr. Olson who came into the cabin there in Central and asked us what we ladies were doing. We were just gabbing, that's what we were doing. The opportunity to meet with Mrs. Leach and talk with her is practically extinct. It was with a little planning and plotting that we were able to get Mrs. Leach to accompany Charlotte Ames and drive a short distance from the Springs over to Central to visit in Mrs. Olson's home with Mrs. Dixie Hall, who was spending some time there in Central. Mrs. Olson, Charlotte Ames, and Mrs. Clara Rust, and your interviewer, Mike Dalton. Mrs. Leach has continued to live at the Springs and resides in a house immediately behind the hotel. At this point in her life, she speaks to practically no one, minds her own business. As she said just a little while ago on this tape, she reads a lot. She's called a recluse by many. As she said, she doesn't have time to do all the reading she wants to do. She's very difficult to talk to. She just doesn't want anything to do with visitors. Not really that way. It's just that there's so many strangers. Charlotte Ames is one of her good friends, as Charlotte pointed out on this tape, but she worked there at the Springs from 1934 through 1938, four seasons. And Charlotte is just about the only person, in fact, she's the only one we know of, whom Mrs. Leach will let in her house. And in her house, she has some of her valuables and some of the relics of the early Springs Hotel. What she was able to salvage, that is. It wasn't sold or carted off or stolen. And I purposely planned my trip back to Central that weekend because I knew Mrs. Ames was going over, and I thought if there was a chance to talk to Mrs. Leach at all, that would be the chance. So Charlotte invited her to go over to Central, about 8 miles away, to this little gab fest we had in Mrs. Ruth Olson's cabin there in Central. When Mr. Olson came in the door, that put an end to the recording, and Ruth Olson put the coffee pot on and got out a blueberry cake she'd made that day. We really had a lovely evening, and I really appreciated the opportunity to talk with Mrs. Leach, something that a lot of people have wanted to do. I'm sorry that I didn't get more detailed information from her. But if she were aware that she was aware that she's being interviewed, we asked her if she minded if we just reminisced about the Springs. We didn't want to get personal, and we assured her that we would not. So I'm sorry that I don't have personal data, date of birth. Perhaps I can get that and add it.